done in heaven. Give us bread where we need it for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Sound familiar? I know it's NIV, and we usually don't use the NIV when we pray in church, but there's something missing there. Did you notice that at the end? For I am the King, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That doxology. Some of the oldest manuscripts don't include that. So whether it's there or not doesn't matter, because we're looking at what prayer is all about. And the first thing that when I read that is that we pray in God's will. Not my will, but yours be done. How many of you have had every single one of your prayers answered? Well, then there's a lot of you that don't understand prayer, because all of your prayers have been answered. Maybe not the way you prayed them, but if you prayed in God's will, every single one of your prayers has been answered. You know, sometimes God doesn't give us what we want because God knows what's best for us. You know, as parents, we should know what's best for our kids. So if they want to eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts for breakfast, we say, no, you have to eat something a little better than that for breakfast. You can have that for a snack later. No. If a kid wants to go, you know, jumping off a bridge into 3 inches of water, we explain to them that's probably not a good idea. Well, in the same way, God knows when we pray what's best for us. And when we pray asking for His will to be done, then what happens is what should happen. It doesn't always mean we get what we ask for. You know? Garth Brooks wrote a song, or he sang it at least, I don't know if he wrote it, a while back. I don't know if you remember it. Those of you who like Garth Brooks and country music would. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Because unanswered in the way we want means answered in the way God wants. So when we pray, the first thing we need to be aware of is that we pray in God's will. The second thing is, because we pray for daily bread. So we need to pray for our needs and not our desires. Get the difference? We need food. We desire steak. We need transportation. We desire a Mercedes. You know, we are all guilty to some level or another of that. You know, but we need to change our thoughts and start praying on needs and not desires. Because guess what? Scripture tells us in Matthew 6:33, what? If we do all the things that God tells us to do and put our treasure in the right place, all these other things will be added as well. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Now, I don't know about you guys, but God has abilities to give me stuff I can't get on my own. He has a lot bigger hands than I do. The scripture says the cattle on a thousand hills, they all belong to Him. Well, that's great. I don't need any cows. I'm pretty sure that I don't know what to do with one in the manse. Maddie would probably worry it to death, and it would worry Annie to death, so it'd be a really bad situation. But I don't need a cow. But I do need certain things, and God has provided them. He even provided someone to slap me around, metaphorically, when I get out of line. And I love her anyway. But we need to pray for our needs and our desires. And here's one that's important. How many of you are holding a grudge right now? Don't hold your hands, because I don't. Just think about it. How many of you are holding a grudge right now? I'll give you time to count them all up in your head. That's what I'm doing right now. Scripture here in Matthew, when he's teaching us about prayer, says, forgive us as what? We forgive others. Ouch. You mean if I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven? That's kind of what the scripture says. And here's the thing about forgiveness. If we choose not to forgive someone, we tend to mainly hurt ourselves. It's like this. There's people that are offended, and we're offended at them because they did or didn't do something. They may not even have a clue that they upset us. So you're harboring this resentment, and they don't have a clue. So who's getting hurt here? Who's being poisoned? You're poisoning yourself. Wow, what a great idea. No, forgiveness is good for everybody, and it's especially good for the person who forgives. So we need to learn to give up things. Amy will tell you, I'm not perfect at that. Just let the word groundhog and she'll know what I'm talking about. Actually, it's twofold on that. But anyway, but I'm working on it, so you should too. The second thing it's talking about is apostles' teaching. Studying God's word, because the apostles' teachings, a lot of them were put down in the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's important. And then in the next chapter, it says this. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, for training character, so the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. So how much of scripture is inspired? All of it. See, they're learning. It's okay to talk back to me when I ask a question. All right. All scripture is inspired by God. So if it's all inspired by God, it's all important. But in this verse, it says, here's what it's useful for. Teaching, showing mistakes, correcting, training for character. Those are all important things. We need to be able to understand scripture so we can share it with others. Because it's important, because scripture is God's word. So when we use it for correcting, it doesn't mean we come up and smack them upside the head with the Bible and say, don't do that again. No. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. So we need to learn to correct in such a way that people aren't upset with us. Well, they may be upset with God because, you know, you point out the scripture and they're mad at you. It's not you. You know, all scripture is God's word, so they can be mad at God. But all these things are so that we can be equipped. All right. Let's say it's football season. And the Steelers don't play again until next week, right? They played their last game this week. All right. Let's say that Ben starts out, he walks out to the huddle the first time, and he's barefoot. And he's not wearing any shoulder pads. Do you think that's probably the best way for him to play? No, he needs to be equipped. He needs to have his cleats on. He needs to have his pads on. He needs to have his head in the game. That's how it is with God's word. We're to be equipped. When we read the scripture, it helps us know what we need to do and how we need to do it. If we don't know the word, we aren't equipped. If we aren't equipped, what happens? Someone hits us without shoulder pads on and it hurts. It may hurt with the shoulder pads on, but it's going to hurt less. The third thing there is important. It's not in the scriptures that we've read yet, but in one that I'm going to read now. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present age. Call it the Great Commission, but often it's the Great Omission, because that's one of the things we tend to forget and gloss over and not really do. Now, it says go, but the word there really means as you are going. Because you see, everybody here is a missionary. The question is whether you're a good one or a bad one. You see, we are called to go as we are going to make disciples. You notice there, it didn't say make them Christians or make them Presbyterians. The problem is if we want them to be converts or Christians, we haven't got the job done. Because a disciple is one that's following Jesus, not just claiming the promises of the Bible, but taking on the work, sharing with others. That's why I was talking about that outlet. Taking out and talking to some other people and bringing them around and helping them understand what God has done for them and what God will do for them and how they need to share that with their friends, families, and people that they know. How many of you here want to reach the lost for Christ? Okay, at least half of you do. The other half I'll pray for. If you mean it, we have an opportunity in the next 2 weeks to do something about it. On the back wall back there are some pamphlets in bundles of 10 that you can give out that just is very welcoming. And you can invite them to Friend Day, where I promise I will not preach on fire and brimstone. Unless no friends come, and then I'll have that backup sermon ready for those who didn't invite anybody. If we truly want to do what God has called us to do, which is as we are going, to teach, to baptize, and teach, we got to take it serious. Now, you ask someone to come and they don't come. What did it cost you? Not much. You know? It's not like they're going to steal your car because you asked them to come. They're probably not even going to hit you in the head with a hammer. They'll just say no. And that may hurt your feelings, but guess what? You'll get over it. As you're going, who do you know that you haven't shared the good news with? That's what evangelism is. Evangelos. Good news. And the good news is, as bad as we are, God loves us anyway. And because he loves us, he's provided a way that we can spend eternity with him rather than eternity in a torment. I don't know. Given the option, I'm all for, you know, spending eternity in heaven. If you guys are really into like pain and suffering, then don't do anything. It's okay. It's really easy. The early church had those four principles that they were talking about. Fellowship is one of those times where we build each other up as a community so that we can go out as we are going and share the good news. Because not always are we going to have good results and we may be depressed. How many of you ever get down? Okay, you're all lying now. There are certain questions you don't have to hold your hand up, but I know that you all have times when you get down. And you need an encouraging word, and that's part of what fellowship is about. It's a chance to be around people who love you and love the Lord and want what's best for you. That's important. Breaking of bread. That has two meanings in Scripture. One here, it's probably talking about having common meals together. Man, they were Presbyterians and didn't know it. But it's also about breaking bread with Jesus, which is what we'll do here in just a few minutes. When we come around the table to remember what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for others if we just share that with them. Scripture says not to come to the table if you have something against someone else. That's the forgiveness part. We need to learn to do that. Finally, if we just do what Scripture says and become equipped, like it says we will be, we can meet anything. We can deal with anything that comes in front of us. Partially because we don't have to do it alone. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ with us, and even more importantly, the Holy Spirit in us and God on our side. So, prayer, just do it. Bible study, just do it. Fellowship, do it. Breaking bread, do it. And most importantly, let other people know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Share the good news. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you help each of us to not just hear the words of yours through the scripture, but to actually begin to put them in practice in our lives. Give us opportunities and give us the courage and the opportunity to make it happen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.